All right, Joel, so let's begin. Today's daf is Nun Hey. We are picking up in Meretz Hashem on Nun Hey 55A at the two dots, and we're picking up 2, 4, 6, 2, 4, 6. Eight lines down from the top, Tanu Rabbana. We'll say also we dedicate our learning this morning. Today is the yard site of Rabbi Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev, and who has taught us so much through his Torahs, through his writings. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, his neshama will have an aliyah. So let's begin. What was actually a very interesting case. We go ahead and we take truma from te'inim, from figs, on grogros. So we'll say in this case over here, I'm designating the figs as the truma on grogros, as the truma ultimately again on dried figs. But however, the Gemara qualifies this. Let's see. This is talking about a situation where it was normative for people to go ahead and make fresh figs into dried figs. Velo grogros al te'in. But you cannot go ahead and separate out grogros as meiser, even though I both remember again, even though we used the lashon of torment over here, Rashi already told us yesterday that it actually refers to meiser. Below grogros al te'inim, but you can't go ahead and separate out grogros dried figs on te'inim, on regular figs for meiser. Va'afilu b'makom sherigilim la'asos te'inim. You see, va'afilu b'makom sherigilim la'asos te'inim grogros, and even in a place where it is normal to go ahead and make fresh figs into dried figs. Okay, so we'll say, so let's analyze this. Amar, tarmin te'inim ala grogros, b'mokum shirigilim la'asos te'inim grogros. So step one is you are allowed to go ahead and use for meiser purposes fresh figs on dried figs. Which was just to understand how this works. I should explain this. So you have a mixture of figs. You obviously have you want to go ahead and separate out some amount of those figs as meiser. I have a mixture, or it does, when I say mixture, by the way, mixture doesn't actually have to mean that they're actively all mixed together. Mixture just has, you have a bunch of figs. Some of them are dried, some of them are fresh. I want to figure out, can I go ahead, do you see, in a normal situation, what I would do is, I would tithe the grogros themselves, bless you, and tithe the te'inim themselves. The shail is, do I have to do that, or can I just go ahead and separate out from one type for the entire mixture of all of the figs? So now we're going to break apart this braisa. So step one was tarmin te'inim al ha-grogros, b'makom sherigilin la'asos te'inim grogros. So step one, Mara is just restating the braisa. You can go ahead and separate out fresh figs as meiser for dried figs, b'makom sherigilin la'asos te'inim grogros. If it's a place where they normally go ahead and dry out their figs. You have to say, remember again, different locales just had different customs. So now if some people, I guess some places consumed their figs fresh, Saeed was telling me about his childhood.
Preserve them, they dry them, but over the year it would rot
if it wasn't dried out. Oh, so good. So most say, if it's a place where they normally make the te'inim grogros, then what? Then halacha lemaisa. Then Allah Lamaisa, you could tithe te'inim on the grogros. However, b'makom sherigilin, b'makom shein regilin lo. So we'll say this is very interesting, because what the Braisa seems to be making is dependent on is what? Local custom. So what we just said is as follows. I have a mixture of te'inim and grogros. I prefer just to separate out some te'inim as meiser for the entire batch, the entire mixture. So what did the Braisa tell me? The Braisa told me, if I'm living in a place where people normally dry out their figs, so they normally make their te'inim into grogros, then what? Then I could use te'inim as meiser for the entire mixture of both te'inim and grogros. B'makom sherigilin in, b'makom she'in regilin lo. So we'll say, so this is very interesting. So what exactly does this have to do with local custom? In other words, why is that the determinant? To which the Gemara says, Heichidami. What's the case? E the Ika Kohen. So we'll say, if we're talking about a situation where what? There is a Kohen who lives locally. Now this is actually very interesting. Let's see where this makes a difference in just a moment. E the Ika Kohen. If in fact there is a kohen, makom she'eino rogil amaylo. I will say, if there is a kohen, then even in a situation where what? Where they don't normally make their te'enim into grogros, I still should be able to separate out te'enim. But say, what's the logic? See, here's what's fascinating. We're going to now make the following distinction. If there's a local kohen, that means I could give him te'enim as my sir. And what? And what? Take a wild guess. What is he going to do with it?
Eat it.
And because he's local, there's no concern about spoilage. If there's no kohen present, I will say, that means what am I going to have to do with my meiser? What am I going to have to do? I'm going to have to set it aside and wait to find a kohen. If I'm going to have to set it aside and wait to find the kohen, then guess what? Then I'm going to use something that ultimately, again, has the ability to be preserved, and I would use grogros. So the Gemara is saying over here is, I don't understand why you're making the ability to use te'enim as meiser for grogros dependent on what the minaga makam is, if they make te'enim into grogros or not. There's a much more fundamental determinant, which is there a present kohen? If there's a kohen who lives in town, I can give him figs because he'll eat it right there. If there's not a kohen in town, then by definition, of course, I can't use te'enim because of the spoilage factor. To which the Gemara says, idika kohen makam shina ragila milo. So we'll say, even if there's a kohen present, even if it's not the local custom to make the figs into dried figs, I should still be able to go ahead and give the kohen fresh figs as ma'aser. Vatnan, we learned, this is really very interesting. Makom sheyesh kohen, if there's a kohen present, or we'll say I live in a city where there's a kohen, so what happens? Sotori min hayofa. So then ultimately, again, I separate out from the nicest produce to give to the kohen. We'll say, what's the logic behind that? The logic behind that ultimately is that what? That there's someone who's there to consume it. You see, again, if I'm going to end up holding on to the meiser anyway, and either I'm going to have to dry it out or it's not going to be as fresh, I don't have an obligation to necessarily set aside the best produce. El pshita de leka kohen. So it must be, Rabbi say that what? It must be the first case, it must be, or at least the case that Mark quoted, that in a place where it's a makom she'in regilin lasos grogros, and therefore again, I can't separate out te'inim on grogros, it must also be a place where there's not a kohen. That's really why I can't separate out te'inim. Why not, Rosa? Because if I separate out te'inim for meiser, and there's no kohen who's present, what's going to occur? Spoilage. El pshita like a kohen. So it must be a determined case there's no kohen. I am a seifa for lo grogros al te'inim. What about the sefer that said that what? That you can't separate out grogros as meiser on te'inim, va'afilu b'makom sharagil la'asos te'inim grogros. And this is true even if Rav said, this is true even in a place where it is normal ultimately again to make the te'inim into grogros. To which the Gemara says, v'idal like a kohen amaylo. Rav said, if there's no kohen present, then why can't I separate out grogros as meiser? In fact, Rabbi say, not only should I be allowed to, but what? It should actually be preferred. Because that way, again, the grogros last, and the meiser, Amir HaShem, will make it to the kohen. V'hatanan, we learned, makom she'in kohen torim min ha'meskayim. Excuse me. Makom she'in kohen torim min ha'meskayim. Rabbi say, if I live in a place, it's actually very interesting. Because, you know, I always say, Baruch Hashem and our shul, we're blessed with an abundance of Kohanim. I'm not saying too much. I'm just saying an abundance, Baruch Hashem. So it's interesting that we know places that didn't have Kohanim. So the Gemara says, what do you do about Meiser in a case where there's a Kohen who no Kohanim? So Torim Minamiskayim. Ultimately, again, you tithe, you separate out the Meiser from produce that which will last. In which case, I will say, not only should tithing from grogros be permitted, but perhaps it should even be encouraged. El pshita de'ika kohen. Rather, I will say, what do you have to say? You have to say it's talking about a situation where there is a kohen. To which the Gemara says, okay. To which the Gemara says, that's the case. Reisha de'leka kohen, seifa de'ika kohen. Are you telling me then the first part of the braisa is talking about a situation where there is no kohen? The second part of the braisa is talking about a situation where there is a kohen, to which the Gemara says in Reisha Lecha Kohen Seifa Diga Kohen. Yes, I'm supposed to say, in fact that is correct. The way to set up the braisa is the Reisha is talking about a situation where there is no kohen who lives locally. The Seifa is talking about a situation where there is a kohen who lives locally. Amar Rapapa says we learn something very important from this, which is Shmamina. Dechakinon umokminan mas nisin betray taimi, for the umokminan betray tanoi. This is actually very interesting. We would rather go ahead and what? We would rather go ahead and set up a raisa reflecting two different circumstantial realities than setting up a raisa reflecting two different opinions. So we would rather go ahead and have a raisa align with two different opinions and the same circumstantial reality. So both say, let me share with you a little bit of interesting halacha with this. Just Hilchos Trumos, because this caught my attention about, because we often assume that when it comes to the separation of Trumos and Maestros, the determinant for what you separate is always what? The best. And yet here we see that is not necessarily the case. Here we see that ultimately you have to look at what will potentially endure as well. So listen to this. This is the Rambam, Hilchos Trumos, Perek Hei Halacha Aleph. Ein Tarmin Ela Min Hayofa. So the Rambam begins with the Halacha. When separating out Truma, and also begin, when I say Truma, understand Tarmin also means what? Right? Meiser. It means tithes. When you go ahead and you take your tithes, so Ein Tarmin Ela Min Hayofa. You have to separate out from the nicest produce. Shene'emar, parim chemes chalbo imenu. Watch this. V'im ein sham kohen. What about say? What happens if there is no local kohen? No local kohen. So what's the halacha? Torim minamiskayim. Ultimately, again, we go ahead and we separate our meiser from that which will endure. From that which will endure. Afa pi sheyesh sham yafa sheinu miskayim. Even though, what Rabbi say, there is nicer produce. Even though there's nicer produce. Which, again, is very intuitive. It's very logical. It's just you would not have thought this on your own because, I shouldn't say you. I did not think this on my own because we're conditioned to think like the Rambam's opening statement of Ein Tarmin Ela Min Hayofa, that in general, when you separate out Trumas and Maestros, you're always separating out from the nicest. That's true if there's a local coin. Separate and give. Separate and give. But if there's no local coin, then what's the point of separating out the nicest? You want to separate that which is going to last the longest. Kate said, so now listen to the Rambam's case. Torim te'inim ala grogros. So we'll say, if, for example, you have a mixture of te'inim and grogros. So what are you going to separate out as meiser? What are you going to separate as meiser? In a vacuum, what are you going to separate out? Te'inim. Why? Tarminayafa. You always separate the nicest. Ubemakum she'in sham kohen. Ah, but here we go. But if there's no local kohen, Torim grogros al ha'te'inim. Then ultimately, what? You go ahead and you separate out the dried figs as the meiser, because Rav Osai, again, we want to be able to give it to a kohen. V'imrogel lasos te'inim grogros. Okay, so the Rambam gives a couple of v'imrogel lasos te'inim grogros. If you live in a place where they normally make te'inim into grogros, Torah min ha'te'inim ala grogros, afilu makom she'in sham kohen. Good, we don't have to go through that. Rav Osai, but the point is, again, the takeaway that I want to give you with this, because this is halacha psuka. Halacha psuka is that what? Is that halacha la meiser, number one? When taking Trumas and Maestros under normal circumstances, what do you separate? Yafe, the best. Unless, of course, there is no local coin. If there's no local coin, then the determinant for what you are going to separate Rabosa is what? What will endure? What will last? What can be preserved until you can find a coin? And even if that's not the best of the produce, we'd rather the coin end up with something. Because I will say, you know, technically speaking, if I'm Yisrael, what I can do is, I could separate out the best, leave it in the corner of my basement, and what? Nothing. The truth is, once I separate, I fulfill my obligation. But obviously, my goal is to get the matana to the coin. Therefore, again, in a situation where there's no local coin, I separate out that which will last. Beautiful. Mishnah, Bosei Nun Hamad Aleph, says the Mishnah. Kala Menachos, another very interesting halacha. Kala Menachos, Niloshos Beposhen. Bosei, listen to this. Karban Mincha. This is really amazing. Karban Mincha is Nilosh, Rabbi Yosef, literally means needed. with a K, kneaded with warm water. Not hot water, as you're going to see, not cold water, but warm water. And you have to be careful that the carbon mincha does not become chametz. And I will say, remember again, carbon mincha is primarily comprised of two parts, or that I should say there are two parts to the carbon. There is the kmitza, which is the three fingerfuls taken by the kohen burnt on the mizbeach, and then there are the shirayim. What are the shirayim? That's the part that's consumed by the kohen. What the Mishnah is teaching me is not only is the carbon mincha proper, the shirayim, not permitted to become chametz, but what? The shirayim are also not permitted to become chametz. Hechmitzu shiareha, over below sase. If you go ahead and you allow the shirayim to become chametz, you're in violation of a lo sase. Shneimar, kol mincha shetekrivu laHashem, lo se ase chametz. Because also the pasuk says, any mincha that you will offer up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, do not allow it to become chametz, to lo, or do not make it chametz. V'chayiv alishasa, v'al arichasa, v'al afiyasa. And Rabbi say, indeed, if you have a dough which has become chametz, you are chayiv for kneading it, you are chayiv for shaping it, and you are chayiv for baking it. In other words, so if you have a cup of mincha mixture which has become chametz, you are chayiv, Rabbi say, for every single step of that carbon mincha process. We'll say incredible. Menahani mili. So we'll say, how do we know this? How do we know that even the shirayim can't become chametz? Yabos, I'll tell you something very interesting, which is under normal circumstances, when the kohen gets his portion of the carbon, so he has the right to what? He has the right to pretty much prepare it however he wants. That's part of his portion. Again, there are limitations, of course, to it, but that's the general klal. So what's interesting over here is as follows. Shirayim really are consumed by the kohen. I would have thought that he could do with it whatever he wants. Kamash malon, that the same way that the kmitza cannot become chametz, the shirayim also can't become chametz. Where do we know that from? To which the Gemara says, so amrei shlokish da amrei kra, lo, because the pasuk says, lo se afe chametz, chelkam. So I'll say, this is actually interesting. So it's really, lo se afe chametz, chelkam nasati osa me'ishai, kodesh kadoshim yikichatas kichasham. So we'll say, so this is a, see, this is in honor of the Rebbe's yard site. In honor of the Rebbe's yard site. So we can place the comma in a little bit of a different place. So we'll say, listen to this. It's the lo se'afeh chametz chelkam. So the way the Gemara Rish Lakish darshins it over here is, you cannot bake it chametz chelkam. Chelkam means what, Rebbe Osai? Even their portion. Even the Kohanic portion, which is what? Which refers to the shirayim, cannot be made chametz. So the Gemara says, afilu chelkam, lo se'afeh chametz. Even their portion cannot be made chametz. I v'ha'i l'ha chiyuda asa. But 1 second. Is that what that pasuk comes to teach us? The Gemara says, ha'imi b'ayde l'chid isanya. But say, I need that phrase, lo se'afeh chametz chelkam, to teach me something different. Teaching us, taught in the Braisa. What does it say in the Braisa? Well, say, amud beis, lo se'afeh chametz. The pasuk says, you shall not bake it. Again, reference to the carbon mincha. You shall not bake it chametz. So mat hamad lomar, what is this coming to teach me? Valo kavar ne'emar lo sa'ase chametz. The pasuk has already told me what Rabbi Osai. Kol amincha asher takrivu la'ashem lo sa'ase chametz. Pasuk already told me that I can't make a carbon mincha chametz. I already know that. Why does it have to say lo sa'ase chametz? We'll see. Here what's happening here. This is actually very dramatic. If the pasuk already says lo se'aseh chametz, means I can't make any part of the karba mincha chametz. If that's the case, why the need for the additional pasuk lo se'afeh chametz? Do not bake it chametz. So watch this. L'fisha ne'emar lo se'aseh chametz. The pasuk says, you shouldn't make it chametz. Yochol lo yeh chayiv ela achas al kulam. I'm going to say what? That if indeed I make a carbon mincha chametz, and I do all the different processes with a chametz mincha, I knead it, I shape it, I bake it, I might have thought based on the pasuk of lo se'aseh chametz, that's what? I'm only chayiv once. Talmud lomar, lo se'afeh. Therefore, also, the pasuk says you can't bake the mincha chametz. What do I learn from there? Afiyah bichlal haisa. It will say baking, afiyah, was in the general prohibition of what? Lo sa'aseh chametz. yet it was singled out. Lama yatsasa. So we'll say, why was Afia singled out? Lahakish elahar. Ultimately, again, to create the hekish. What's the hekish? Ma'afia miyuchadeshi ma'isi yichidi v'chayev an ala b'fnei atzma. Just like Afia is its own ma'isa, is a separate, independent ma'isa, or self-contained ma'isa. Yet, it is clear that if you bake a chametz teka mincha, that you will be chayev just for that act of baking. Af ani avi lishasa va'arichasa v'chol ma'ase yichidi sheba. So we'll say, just like Afia is singled out, and I'm chayev for baking a karban mincha, which is chametz, so to what? Every individual act done to the mincha, I will be chayev if done to a minchas chametz. Therefore, again, I will say what? If I need a minchas chametz, if I shape it, and if I bake it, whatever I do, I will be chayev. So we'll say, la'asuye kituf shumase yachid, and this comes to include what? The shaping of the dough, right? The shaping of the dough, which also is its own independent ma'isa, yet I will be chayev ultimately again for an independent. So we'll say, see what's happening over here? I have two psukim that teach me that you can't have a karban mincha that's chametz. A general pasuk, lo si'ase chametz, which I will say by itself would what? Be enough for everything. Because by itself what that teaches me is no part of the mincha process can be chametz. Fine, shalom Yisrael. Yet the Torah goes out of its way to say what? Lo se'afe chametz. The Torah goes out of its way to tell me that what? I can't bake chametz. I can't bake karban mincha chametz. Why do you have to single out Afia? So what the Gemara is suggesting over here is as follows. Just like Afia is a unique, self-contained, singular step within the mincha preparation process, and I'm chayiv for it. If I bake a chametz tik mincha, so to any step of the mincha process performed on a chametz tik mincha, I'll be chayiv a lav do reisa as well. To which the Gemara goes, I will say, v'chayev n'ala b'fnei atzma. So also remember again, the Braisa taught me that I'm chayev for afia b'fnei atzma, and by extension I'll be chayev for any singular step of the mincha preparation process that I undertake, if undertaken with a chametz tikka mincha. So the Gemara says, one second, anan mechel kam karminan. I will say, we learned that out from the pasuk, lo se'afeh chametz chel kam. Most remember, what did we learn out from Chalkam? Chalkam was Reish Lakish's drasha. Chalkam taught me that even if the shirayim are prepared or are allowed to become chametz, ultimately what? I will be chayiv for that as well. So most of the Gemara says, I'm jumping ahead. The Gemara says, we learn out that halacha from Chalkam. Ve'ima kulei lahachi udasa. I see that maybe that entire pasuk is coming to God and teaching this halacha. Imkain lichtov chelkam lo se'afeh chametz. If that's the case, I will say, let it say, the chelkam, the chelek, shall not be baked as chametz. My lo se'afeh chametz chelkam. I will say, what do I learn out from lo se'afeh chametz chelkam? Why does he phrase it that way? Shams mina tarti. I will say, ultimately, it teaches me two halachas. What are the two halachas, I will say? So number one, what the Brice is learning out from chelkam, I will say, is that for any stage of the mincha process, if done with a mincha which is chametz, what's the halacha, Rabbi Osai? The halacha is yechayev midaraisa. But there's also another drasha, which is the drasha ultimately of Reish Lakish, which teaches me that even if the shirayim, the leftover part of the mincha, is allowed to become chametz, when I said leftover part, the part that gets consumed by the kohanim, if even the leftover part, the shirayim, becomes chametz, ultimately, again, I'm in violation as well. So I'm learning two. So we brought this entire Braisa of Osai as a challenge to Reish Lakish's interpretation of the phrase or of the word chelkam. Now what we're saying is based on the phraseology of the pasuk, both halachas could be learned out. The Braisa's halacha, which teaches me that I'm chayiv for every individual part of a karban mincha that is done in the state of chimutz, and Reish Lakish's halacha, namely, that even if the Kohanim consume their shirayim and allow the shirayim to become chametz, I will be chayiv as well. Ve'ema, afia de paraparachmana lechayiv chada. But why don't I say as follows? The Torah singles out that I can't bake a karban mincha that becomes chametz. So why don't I say, afia, baking which was singled out, lechayiv chada. Indeed, if I bake a mincha which is chametz, I will be chayiv. Inach lechayiv chadakulu. Maybe for all the other processes, shaping and kneading and all the other pieces, I should only be chayiv what? I should only be chayiv once, even if I perform all of them. To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Mishum dahav davar shahaya bichlal v'yotza min haklal. Supposed to listen to this, because in reality, afia was something which was included in the klal. We'll say, which klal? The klal of lo se'aseh chametz, which is the general statement that tells me that I can't perform any part of the karban mincha in a state of chametz. Afia was included in that as well. The yatza min haklal. But then what happens? Afia was taken out of the klal. We'll say, what happens when you're part of the klal and then taken out of the klal? So the Gemara says, lelamed, lo lelamed al atzmo yatza, ella lelamed al haklal kulo yatza. Rebbe, whenever you are part of the klal, then taken out of the klal, you are using as an example not just for yourself, but for the rest of the klal as well. Which also teaches me that what? Afia was part of the klal. And when Afia was part of the klal, so what was the halacha? We assumed that Afia was like all the other preparatory actions, which is that if you perform them, performed all of them, you'd be chayiv once. Then Afia is taken out. When Afia is taken out, Rosei teaches me that's what? That if I bake chametz tikka mincha, then what's the halacha? I'm chayiv. But even just doing that one thing, it teaches me then about all the other preparatory acts that what Rosei, I'm chayiv for each of them individually as well. Ve'ima lo se'aseh klal. Rosei, why don't I say the phrase lo se'aseh is a klal, a general statement. Lo se'afeh prat. And lo se'afeh is a prat. So also, what do I have? A klal and prat. Klal uprat, ein bichlal ala mashe beprat. Well, so when you have a klal and a prat, a general statement, a more limiting statement, so the way that exegetical principle works is ein bichlal ala mashe beprat. The klal, interestingly enough, is defined by the prat. Mash to the Gemara says, afia in midi achrin alo. Maybe comes to teach that I'm only chayiv for afia, but I'm not chayiv for any other preparatory act having to do with mincha, if done with a minchas chametz. To which the Gemara says, Amar Rebbe, Afturiki, Mishum Dahavi Klal Oprat Hamuruchakin Zemize. Rebbe say, this is actually quite interesting. It doesn't work, and I'll tell you why it doesn't work. Because Rebbe say, in order to darshan a Klal Oprat, the psukim or the phrases have to be next to each other. This is a situation of a Klal and a Prat that are distanced from one another. Now, Rebbe say, now what does that mean? The pasuk of Lo se'afeh chametz chalkam, I will say, is in Vayikra Vav Yud, and the other pasuk ultimately of Lo se'aseh chametz is in Vayikra Beis Yud Aleph. So ultimately, again, because those psukim are distanced from each other, therefore the Gemara suggests you can't learn out a prat and a klal, or a klal and a prat. The only time you can learn out was a klal and prat to klal, is when the psukim are juxtaposed. So the Gemara says, "V'chol klal uprat amaruchakin zem izeh, aim dunin osan b'klal uprat." Okay, so that's why I say the Gemara therefore destroys that possibility. Master Rav Baraba, v'amri lekidei, klal uprat amaruchakin zem izeh, aim dunin osan b'klal uprat. Is that true? Is that actually true? I will say, just because the psukim are not juxtaposed to one another, you can't dash them as a klal uprat. Is that actually the case? V'atanya, we learn about, so listen to this. V'shachot, oso, b'makom asha yishchata olo lefnei Hashem chatasu. So let's listen to this. You shall shecht it, it will say, this is talking about the se'ir of the nasi. Asher nasi yechta, remember again, it's talking about if the king, if the melech, commits a particular avera, he brings what we call the se'ir hanasi, he brings a special chatas offering. So the pasuk says, v'shachot oso, Asher yishchat ha'ola lefnei Hashem chatasu. Where do you shecht this se'ir of the nasi? You shecht it in the same place where you normally shecht the ola before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a chatas. That's the lashon of the pasuk. Heichan ola nishchatas. Okay, so what's that? So the Torah seems to be telling me, where do you shecht the se'ir nasi? In the same place where what? In the same place where what? Where the ola shechted. Good. Where is the ola shechted? So the Gemara says, Heichan ola nishchetes. Where is the ola shechted? Bitzafon, in the north of the Beis Hamikdash. Af ze bitzafon. Good. So we'll say. So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says bitzafon. So we'll say there's an explicit pasuk when it comes to the Ola, that you shecht the Ola on the northern side of the Mizbeach. Fine. So that's you're going to shecht the Seer of the Nasi as well. So too, I will say, the Seer of the Nasi will also be shechted in the north. V'chi anu mikan l'meidin? Is this we learn out that the Seer of the Nasi, that the Seer of the Nasi is shechted in the north? V'halo kvar ne'emar b'makom asher tishchat ha'ola Tishchat achatos. We already have a pasuk that tells us that what? That ultimately, again, Ola and Chatos are shechted in the same exact place. I already have a pasuk that teaches me this. Ha lama ze yatsa. So we'll say, if I already have a pasuk that teaches me that Ola and Chatos are shechted in the same place, then what? Then why do I need a pasuk to teach me that the seir of the nasi is shechted in the same place as the ola shechted? I might as well say I already have that as an established principle. Ola and chatos are shechted in the same place. The seir of the nasi, Rabbi say, is what? Is a chatos. If that's the case, I already know that it's shechted in the same place as the ola, which is what? On the north of the mizbeach. Why does the pasuk have to specify by the nasi again? Ha lama ze yatza. Likovo, we'll say it's coming to teach you as follows. Shimlo shachat oso b'tzafon paslo. It's coming to teach you, we'll say, that not only is there a din to shecht it in the north, but what? If you don't shecht it in the north, then what? Then what? The carbon is paslo. Atom lekach yatzasa. O eno ela shezet ta'un safon. Ve'in acher ta'un safon. Maybe you'll come, maybe it's going to teach you something different, we'll say, which is what? That maybe it's only the seer of the nasi, which has to be shecht it in the north. But other karbanos, but other chatas offerings need not be shechted in the north. Talmud lomar, v'shachat esa chatas b'mokma sheyishchat esa ola. Ze bana av l'chol chatos shetu'unos safon. Rabbi says this becomes what we call a binyan av. Binyan av, Rabbi says, another way, is a statement, what we mean, a paradigm. This becomes a paradigm for all chatas offerings. That all chatas offerings, Rabbi says, require northern slaughter. And if you don't shecht them in the north, then what? They are pasul. Taimed the custom of Rachmana esachatos. So I'll say the reason we said it is because the pasuk says esachatos halav hachi. Were it not that have amina shezet taun safon vein acher taun safon, I would have thought about, say, without this pasuk, I would have thought that it's only the seer of the nasi which requires northern slaughter, but other chatos do not. My time. Why is that? Lav mishum dahave klalu prat. Rabbi says, and not because we would darsh in these psukim as a klalu prat, despite the fact that what? Va'af agav de meruchok in zemi zeh, done in osa b'klalu prat. Rabbi says, what do you see from here? Even though these psukim are far away from each other, nevertheless, we are still darshening them as a klalu prat. Maskif la Ravashi, Ravashi is zikasha, hai klalu pratu, prat uklal. Rabbi says, this Ravashi says, by the way, this is not a klalu prat, this is a pratu klal. The Gemara says, "V'naase klal mosif ala prat," and therefore, again, when you have a prat uklal, the klal comes to add on to the prat. The israbile kol mili, and ultimately, again, it comes to include what Rabbi say. It comes to include ultimately all chatas offerings that they all have to be offered up in the north. So we'll say. So by the way, what comes out interestingly enough is this idea. Just you'll file this for future reference, but this idea we'll say. Do we darshan a klal uprat hamiruchokin ze mize? In other words, generally when we see a klal uprat, we'll say what we generally see is what? The klal uprat coming in close proximity to each other. Can't bless you. Can we darshan a klal uprat that are miruchokin ze mize? That seems to be the subject of a major dispute. We'll do one more line. Elatana osaka kashile. Shadar will say, we're still trying to figure out ultimately, again, what to do with this oso. The samach yada rosh ha-sar v'shachat oso b'makam ha-sha yishchat. So the Gemara says, v'alchi kamar, o einu ela shezeh ta'ot safon ve'in acher ta'on safon. Maybe you'll say that it's only this sa'ir of the nazir which requires northern slaughter. Other chatas offerings do not require northern slaughter. So the Gemara says, v'kas of rachmana oso, because the pasuk says, oso by the sir of the nazir. The hashta denafkele mi v'shachat esachatos oso lemi utemai. So I'll say, now that we learn out the fact that what? The seer of the nasi requires northern slaughter from Rabbi Yosai, from esachatos, mi v'shachat esachatos, makav sheyishchat esa'ola, What does the Oso come to teach me? So we'll say what we have over here is just we're going to stop over here with this. But by the Seir of the Nasir, it says the Shachat Oso b'makom asher yishchat esa'ola. So you have to shecht the Seir of the Nasi in the same place where you shecht the Seir of the Ola, which is in the north of the Mizbeach. I thought that pasuk was coming to teach me dafka, it has to be shechted in the north. But now I realize I don't need that pasuk to teach me. Why? Because I already learned that from another pasuk, that every single chatas offering has to be offered up in the north, the same place as the Ola. If that's the case, the Torah is going out of its way to teach me something exclusionary about the Seer of the Nasir. B'shachat Oso, there's something unique about this carbon that ultimately, again, is unique about it that it's not shared with any other carbon. That learned out from the Oso. What does that Oso come to be mema'it? What does that Oso come to exclude? Emirat HaShem to be continued tomorrow.